Matthew chapter 5, once again, this morning, we're going to take a look, a continued look from our discussion from last Sunday, where I was pointing out that Jesus was saying to the believers that you are indeed salt of the earth. Remember, he didn't say, go try to be salt. He didn't say, see if you can bring a little salt in. No, he said, that's who you are. And this is what you do because of it. Well, we're going to kind of do part two this morning. First, I want to point something out. You may or may not know about this. In today's world, we have this, it seems like it's a rapidly changing way of life in our culture today. And what's happening is, people are, this growing desire to become what's called an influencer is rapidly taking over the desires of young people and older folks, for that matter, people in general. It's called the global influencer marketing industry. It's an official name for it now. And some of y'all that don't get on the internet much and do much of that, y'all kind of sit back and say, what in the world? You know, what in the world is that all about? But it reaches over $32 billion. That's an industry that's worth over $32 billion, the influencer industry. That means people are making a living off of being influencers on the internet and across the world in different places. 57% of Gen Z would choose a career as an influencer. You ask young people, what do they want to be when they grow up? 57% of them are going to say, I want to be an influencer. All right? You think about that. 41% of all adults, that's young people and older people, would choose a career as an influencer in today's world. Does that surprise any of y'all? Does that seem weird? Does that seem odd? It was not an option when I was in school, when I was in high school. They asked me what I want to be, I would answer, left alone. But I had no desire to be, I didn't even know what an influencer would have been. That kind of term wasn't existed. It did not. I mean, there were influencers. There's always been influencers in the world. People that you look up to and people you learn from, they're influencers. They influenced you at some point. But these people, I would say the mix of it all, almost half of adults would say they would love to have a career as an influencer in today's world. Now, I sit back and think about that. I'm like, really? I wonder if that most of them, any of them, know exactly what they would be signing up for. Right? Because if you're going to influence anybody, what are you going to influence them to do or be? How are you going to impact their life? That's what an influencer does. You influence people. So what's your message? What are you trying to get them to do or be? Why should anybody want to be like you as an influencer? Right? It's a culture that celebrates visible causes, public virtue signaling. That's hitting the like button. Right? And social engagement. I think I'm not opposed to internet. I'm not opposed to online activities. I'm opposed to everything that's sinful, and everything can lead to sin if you allow it, right? If you use it the wrong way and make it be something that God never intended it for it to be, it can be a sinful thing, and that's true for anything, internet or not. So I'm not standing up here bashing on technology, because I use it as much as almost anybody else, for that matter. However, my question is, all these people, half of the world, half of the adult world, according to the statistics, they want to be influencers. And I'm telling you that it's my opinion and my perspective is, be careful what you wish for. Because I don't think they know what comes with that kind of fame or being well known. When everybody knows you, they come with expectations. They come with judgments. They come with ideas and opinions about you and what you're doing or saying and how you're living, right? And there's a lot of other emotions that come into play, and it becomes a burden at some point if you're not careful. I'm not telling people not to be influencers. I'm not telling people to be influencers. I'm just telling you where the world is. Here's what I know, according to Matthew chapter 5 in our study in verses 14 to 16. It says this in verse 14. I'll read all the way 14 to 16, and then we'll get into our points. Verse 14 says, "You are the light of the world." This is right after he said, "You are the salt of the earth," in verse 13. In verse 14, he says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it, but on the on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." Verse 16, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." That's our scripture focus for this morning. Now, it sounds to me between verse 13 and 14 through 16, it sounds to me like Jesus does not call his people to blend into the darkness of the world. I mean, that seems obvious with that statement that he just made, or to hide behind private spirituality. Do you know there's people who believe in God and accept what the Bible says about Jesus, but they feel like they just believe that my faith is between me and me and God, and it's none of your business. They're like covert Christians. They're undercover witness, right? In scripture, numbers symbolize different things, and the number 7 symbolizes perfection or holiness. Number 6 always symbolizes man because he's just a little bit lower than holy. So if you were a secret Christian in the world, a covert Christian, you would be 006, which is not what Jesus is calling us to be. All right, you have to watch some old movies to know what I'm talking about. Some people might not get that. Look, he declares that those who follow him are the light. No, don't try to be light. Don't use all your strength to try to shine. No, you are. If you're in Christ, you're saved by the blood of Christ, you are the light of the world, a city set on the hill. When he talks about a city set on the hill, it was common for people to build cities up on the hill because it's hard to get to and you can see everything coming. But when in the evening, it's hard to not see that city because of whatever lights were shining in the city, whatever lamps were lit or whatever they did. So he's saying, look, the kingdom of God, the body of Christ, is like a city set on a hill and for everyone to see. And you and I, as believers, are part of the kingdom of God. We're part of the body of Christ. So the question is never whether the light will be seen. The question is whether that the light will cause people to glorify God. You ever think about that? That hit me several years back when I was studying through this. I remember it hit me. I was like, all my saved life, all my journey after I got saved, the mission was to go into the world and make disciples. Right? We all know that's the mission. Go into the world, tell people about Jesus, and give them an opportunity to be saved. And in my mind, it's like my goal is to talk about Jesus to the point where somebody wants to get saved and we can baptize them and we can all sing victory in Jesus. That was how I did things. That's how my mind worked. But then I studied this deep enough, and Jesus is saying, do all of that so that those people will glorify God. Yeah, and then I started thinking about all them times where Jesus is walking around the planet with the guys and he would go heal somebody. And that person that was healed would jump up and start shouting, praise the Lord. And all the people that witnessed it were saying, man, he must be connected to God, or he must be God. This must be God doing this. And they would start praising God. Jesus didn't walk around in, coaching people to praise God. He just did shined his light into the world, and everybody praised God because of it. You see? And that's the real mission. The real mission is to take the gospel into the world, so that people might have a chance to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And then anyone who witnesses any of that would praise God, would bring glory to God. It's a little bit deeper than what we had in our minds. So look, bottom line, we the believers, Christians around the world, are to be the most powerful influencers in the world, and always has been since Jesus came out of the grave and Pentecost. Once Pentecost came, the Spirit of God came into the hearts of those believers, boom, influencers were born. Influencers for the kingdom of God. So that's what I'm telling you. I'm not against people wanting to be influencers. I'm just saying to you that if you're going to be an influencer, which you should be and need to be, it needs to be for the right reasons. If I could influence anybody and everybody in the world, and I only had one thing to teach them, one thing to pour into their life, why would I pick anything other than Jesus? I mean, I can influence people on how to cook barbecue or how to run autocross races, or I can influence people how to sit on a porch and do nothing. I kind of can be good at that if I'm not careful, right? But why would anybody want to look at my life or your life and say, yeah, I would like to be like that person if it's not about Jesus? Hello? He wants us to live open lives, observable for the world to see, so that they would glorify our God in heaven. So let's break it down, y'all. First things first. In verse 14, he says, you are the light of the world. This is our identity. You are salt and you are light. You bring light into the darkness and you enhance the flavor of people's lives because of your existence. Not because of you in the flesh, but because of you in Christ. Because you bring the presence of God wherever you go. Now I'm going to tell y'all something. And I've been guilty of this. I'm not bashing anybody. But there's been times when I've been around other believers and you can't tell that they have the Spirit of God anywhere involved in their life. Right? There's an old-timey preacher once said, well, if you're saved by the blood of Christ, then you should tell your face. Because nobody can tell by the way your face looks. There should be joy in your life. There should be excitement in your life. You should be overjoyed that you get to serve God and get to live another day in this world to make disciples and show people that Jesus is real. That should be every day for all of us. And look, I'm right down there with y'all. I'm talking to myself because I got my days. Still, I have my days. Praise the Lord for his forgiveness and his patience.
Amen.
Right? Because we can do better. Every day, every night we get to bed, we're like, yeah, that wasn't great, was it? So tomorrow we do better. Tomorrow we do it different. We let the Spirit of God have his way. Why? One, so that we can live in the blessing that Jesus died for us to live in every day. No matter what happens in the world, no matter what happens to us. But at the same time, everybody in your neighborhood is watching you. Everybody you work with is watching you. Everybody in the community is watching the believer. And how we deal with the darkness of the world. And we're influencing people whether we know it or not. Whether you try to influence people or not, you're influencing somebody. And if my witness isn't great all the time or even part of the time, somebody's going to say, why would I want to be a Christian if that's the way it is? So you're influencing them in a different direction. You're not encouraging them that God is great and God is amazing and that you need to be a part of what he's doing. The light's not shining, right? So because we belong to Christ, our lives are designed to be visible and distinct in a watching world. God intends for people to look at you and your life, you particularly. And that's kind of hard to swallow sometimes. It's like, why would God use this to show anybody anything about him? Right? But I want you to think about that, because I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one that has that perspective on it. Hey, I know who I am and I know what I used to be and I know where I'm going. And it's all to God's glory. But the reason God chooses an old sinner like me and you is because he wants the whole world to see how he can easily clean up this mess and make it something that glorifies him. Well, and if he can clean this mess up, certainly he can clean all the other messes up. Right? That's the reality of it all. When we first moved here, my wife and I, it's the first time we had lived in the mountains. Every place else we've ever lived is flat. The only roundness was the roads, because they build them so that the water runs off of them so they don't turn into ice. So we go up there and we're traveling somewhere and we decide to come back and it was getting dark and we come back on a parkway in the middle of the night, like 10 o'clock at night. And the first time I said that to y'all, I remember telling y'all, everybody in the room, their eyes got real big and it was like an audible gasp. Like, why would you do that? Because it's pitch black up there. I think it was from somewhere from Brevard this way. And I didn't even know I was in the tunnel a couple of times. That's how dark it was. I was just, next thing you know, my headlights, just brick, the tunnel disappeared in the, because my headlights hit. And it scares me every time. I was like, whoa, about to hit that. Then you come around a corner and there's somebody in a car with their parking lights on that you don't see until the last minute. But because the little yellow lights on their car, it lights up the whole room. It's so dark that just that little bit of light made a difference and got my attention. This is what it means to be light in a dark world. Because y'all know that the world is dark. The earth, the planet, and all of God's creation is amazing. And there's plenty of things to enjoy and appreciate and celebrate. But the world, culture, and people who are lost in their sin, we make it ugly. And God's saying, you are to be salt and light in the middle of all of that. You're to be different. You're not to be hidden. You're to be seen. You're a trophy in God's trophy box. And he's put us on display for the whole world to see. Look, here's another one. Here's another one that I pulled out of the mess. What mess? The mess that you're in. The same mess that you're in, God can pull you out just like he pulled these people out. That's the gospel, y'all. That's what God wants people to see. If people that knew me before I got saved and they know me now, if they're not acknowledging that God did something, they're not paying attention. They're not paying attention, or they never knew me to start with, or both. So let's just examine whether our daily way of life in this community, the way we talk, the way we treat each other, the way we treat our neighbors, the way we handle life issues, the way we deal with our finances, everything about our life, is it consistent with who we are in Christ? Is it consistent with us being light, the light, his light, Christ in us? Is it consistent? If nobody around you in your life would ever suspect that you were a Christian, do you think that lines up with what Jesus is saying? Right? It would actually hurt my feelings. If somebody came to me and said, hey, I got saved the other day, and I celebrated. Man, I got saved back in 2002. And they said to me, well, I didn't know you were a Christian. That would hurt me. That would hurt me deeply. Because I would know that I failed at some place. I failed to allow the Lord to have his way in my life. All right, let's look at verse 15 now. In verse 15, he says, does anyone light a lamp, right? Of course, we don't hide the light. And he said, nobody puts it under a basket, right? But on the lampstand, puts it on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house, right? Why does Jesus feel the need to explain this in this way? And I think the original writing word for that's translated basket doesn't really mean a basket in our day. I think it means some other kind of container or some other kind of something. It doesn't really matter. It's just Jesus is trying to say that nobody lights a lamp and burns oil and then covers it up so nobody can see it. The whole purpose of lighting the lamp is so that people can see. So the darkness can be rid of. You know, it's kind of like, you know, faith. It requires for God. Jesus lit the lamp. Jesus put the light in you, right? In me. He lives in us because we were obedient to the gospel. We said, yeah, we believe what we believe about Jesus. He's Lord and Savior. I need to repent and I want to be baptized. I want him to be my Lord and Savior, and I want to serve him, and I want to be part of the kingdom of God. And when the Spirit of God comes in, there's light. So all we have to do is get out of the way of it. Hello? You ever think about that? Sometimes people don't see Christ in me because I'm standing in the way. my attitude or my thoughts or my words or my behavior or whatever. I want y'all to know this, because I want y'all to know who your preacher is. Almost every week, probably every week, I have to really wrestle with what I'm preaching. Not because I wrestle with it because I want to preach it well and I want it to be a good message for y'all, whatever the Lord wants, but I have to wrestle with it because how can I stand up here when I know I ain't got all this figured out yet? You see? And I'm in the middle of putting this together and things are happening in my life and I'm instantly saying, well, you're about to preach that Sunday, so you might want to change how you're doing this. You might want to change how you're thinking. You might want to change this behavior. I'm just telling y'all, this is a we thing, not a me telling you thing. Okay? It requires obedience to what? Obedience to your commitment to Christ. You want Him to be Lord and Savior of your life? You want to die to yourself? You want the Spirit of God to live in you so that you can glorify God with your life? If that's what you want, it takes obedience. Don't go shine the light. Let the light shine. Amen. You don't do it. God does it. Right? We don't do it. Oak Grove don't do it. God does it if we just allow Him, surrender to what He's doing, and let what Jesus died for be what it is. You can't be a Christian person. You can't be a person saved by the blood of Christ and never, ever, ever let anybody know that you're a believer. I think some people innocently don't understand that. They get it in their mind, and maybe they weren't discipled well, but they get it in their mind that I believe and I want to go to heaven, so I believe and I do what it takes to be saved, to walk into that, and then they stop right there. And there's no witness. There's no engagement in the body of Christ. There's nothing participating in the light shining into the world. So just be aware that it's not only your identity, but it's who placed the light there, the placement of the light. You have to be in position for the light to shine. Meaning we get up every morning and we look for the assignment. We watch for the Spirit of God to guide us. And we react to what He's teaching us and leading us in the moments of the day. You won't miss opportunities if we have our mindset that way. Because then it becomes, How does God want to shine His light today in my life instead of how's God going to help me do what I want to do today? You see the difference? Too many people think, okay, we have the Spirit of God and we have prayer so that God will help me with my day. And that's not at all the case, is it? It's not at all the case. I'm on His plan. This is His day. This is His life that I'm living now. You see, it's not about me. I know that hurts, doesn't it? Every time I say it, it hurts. It's not about me. Isn't that the battle? We want it to be about me. How can I live in the blessings? How can I receive the blessings? How can I have a great life? How can I? One of the famous TV preachers wrote a book, and people quote it all the time. I don't even think they know where it comes from. This whole live your best life is not at all what Jesus is teaching. It's not. I'm not here to live my best life. I was doing that before I got saved, and it was pitiful. And then I got saved, so now He's living His life in me. You see. I'm getting ready to go up to Indiana and talk about the 2 years of storm recovery that IDES came here to help us with. Right, they wanted me to come up here and share a little testimony of some things, how things went down here to their annual employee meeting. And we're going to talk about a lot of details, and we're going to talk about how it was. And they've been through storms before. It's not going to be a surprise to them. But I'm going to talk about God's involvement in it all. I'm going to talk about things that God did that we could never take credit for. I'm going to talk about if God wasn't involved, we would not have survived any of it, you see. So it's kind of like, you know, I was remembering when the first few days when nobody had any power, once the sun went down, it was pitch black in our homes and outside. I mean, literally, my wife and I laid down in the living room, and I would, on one couch a piece near each other, and I would reach over and touch her arm because I couldn't see her. Right? I can't. I mean, I couldn't see her. If I went up and put my face against her face, I still couldn't see her. You see? And that's the kind of darkness that I want you to picture when we're looking at, just bring the light into the world, y'all. Sin is that kind of darkness. And people are so used to being in that kind of darkness, they're scared of the light. It frightens them. Because once the light hits the room, once the light comes into the world, it starts exposing that which is bad, which is doesn't honor God. It exposes the situation between man and God. And it's very difficult, but it's necessary because we want people to get saved, right? So we need to make sure that we're paying attention to the Holy Spirit as he has placed the light in us, that he wants to position us in the world so that the light would reach the darkness. Each one of us. All right? All right, next thing. Our purpose as light, there's a reason, right? It's not just light to be light. This is verse 16. He says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. That's reason number one. And glorify your Father who is in heaven. Reason number two. That's why I'm saying you and I, the believers, all the believers, the body of Christ, we are to be influencers. Right? I'm fine with people wanting to be influencers. I think Jesus wants us to be influencers for Christ, influencers for the kingdom of God, influencers for the lost souls in the world. Why? So that God can be glorified. You know, God could have just said, I'm just not going to create the planet. I'm going to create man, and then they'll be perfect and they'll be with me for eternity, and we'll just skip the whole sin thing. He could have done that. So you have to ask, well, why didn't he? Why is he making it so difficult? Why is he making it to where man chooses to sin? Because God gave us free will, and he knowing that we were going to sin, knowing that we weren't going to avoid that, and he did it anyway. Why? Why would God do such a thing? Because genuine love involves a free will decision. He loves us. He wants us to, free by our own free will, decide to receive that love. And what's more is he wants us to make a decision to love him. And forced love is not genuine love. If he just created us to love him and we don't have a choice, that's not real love. You see? That's why God is doing this. And then he's saying, look, since you chose me and I chose you and this, my spirit is living in you, how about if I just put you where I want you to be so other people can see me? Why? So they can see me and decide by their own free will to say, I need that God. I need God in my life. I'm tired of feeling my way around in the darkness. So they come and step into your light, and they realize that, you know what, they can have that same light living in them and be saved believers. The ultimate aim of every visible good work, meaning the good things that you do led by the Spirit of God, right? The good works, the loving people part, the ultimate aim or goal is the glory of God. You ever think about that? Jesus died on the cross, gave up his life in a brutal and nasty, ugly way, and gave up his own life, took his last breath by his own free will, and then was buried in a grave, and God brought him out of that grave, resurrected him from the dead, so that you and I can be saved from our sinful behavior. We can be reconciled to him. Isn't that great? But it's not really the main reason, is it? The main reason is so that God would be glorified. You're saved so that God would be glorified. Because early on when I got saved, I was looking at the mess I'd made of myself. And it was pitiful. I would look at that and be like, wow, how could God ever forgive me of any of this? That's what it looks like to be cut to the heart. You look at your overwhelming pile of mess that you created, knowing that God don't have no real reason to forgive you aside from the fact that he just loves you. But what really God was doing is saying, look at this pile of Archie Gilmer mess. And without any, not one holy drop of sweat, he cleaned that mess up. The only sweat that came off of him was on the cross to clean my mess up. And now he wants me to stand before the Lord and say, so that he can say and I can say, look at what God has done. Look how amazing our God is. Right? I am who I am today only because of how awesome God is. And I owe it to him based on my free will commitment to enter into this relationship. I owe it to him to live my life as if somebody died for me. Live my life as if there's this amazing God who loves me so much that he would take whatever pile of mess I could create and clean it up for me and allow me to be in his presence and him to live in me. Who am I? Who am I to host the Spirit of God? Who am I? I'm nobody. That the holiness of God would choose to live in me. I know who I was. And that guy certainly wasn't worthy. I know who I'm trying not to be. And I know who I am in Christ. Praise the Lord. So it can't just be for me. It can't just be for you. It can't just be that God is only blessing you with this indwelling of the Holy Spirit, this holy light that comes into your life when you confess, repent, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. It can't be just for you, can it? It's for you to glorify God so that others will glorify God. You see. And God has a way of making it obvious to the world where they cannot deny his involvement. Oh, they may not say it out loud, some of them. They may not, they may know, they'll know that it's God. Must be a God thing, but I'm not willing to surrender, so I'm not going to say it. I'm just going to reserve my praise. I'm not going to say glory be to God because I'm too prideful. I don't want to surrender. I don't want to repent. I don't want to admit that I'm not good. That's where people are in a dark world. How on earth are we going to make disciples? How are we going to change people's lives or give them an opportunity to step into God's grace if we're not willing to stand as a trophy in their presence? If we're not willing to stand up and say, I'm just as bad off as you are, but I'm different now. I'm not what I used to be. Glory be to God. Right? It's not hard to make disciples, y'all. It's not hard to tell people about Jesus. What's hard is getting ourselves out of the way of the light. Right? Sometimes you need specific light when you're working on a project, right? Whatever you're doing, and you're looking at a book, or you're trying to do some kind of work, and you put that book under the light so you can see clearly. And somebody comes along to try to help you, and what do? Almost every time. They stick their head next to yours, and they've got their head between the light and the book, and you're like, I can't see. I'm just trying to help, but I can't see. I know it's not just me. It happens all the time. I'm usually the one sticking my head in the light, and everybody's like, I can't see. Get out of the way. That was the hope when you're a kid. I don't know if younger folks had this experience, but us older people know that when your dad says, hold the flashlight, and you never can do it right. Because you keep putting the light where it's not hitting what he's looking at, you see. You're trying to put it where he said, and he even grabs your arm and puts it there, and you think you're standing still, but you're so terrified, you're shaking, and it gets tiring, and it's like, tell you, like 20 minutes later, he's pointing at the back of his head, and he can't see. It's not the problem is not the light. The problem is the positioning. And I think as long as we keep trying to position ourselves, we're going to have trouble. If you try to be the light yourself, you're going to have trouble. You let the Holy Spirit be the light in you. You are the light. And then you let the Holy Spirit position you in the world every day. And watch how God changes people. And watch how he changes you. And watch what he does in your life. And it'll be amazing because you'll be so busy praising God and glorifying God that you won't even be able to see that everybody else is doing the same thing. You see. So the big idea remains this. Jesus calls his people to live as visible light so that good works lead to others glorifying the Father. We're not doing good works to earn salvation. We're not doing good works to say to the world, well, I'm different than I was and I'm better now and I'm a great person or I'm a great Christian. We're not doing good works to prove that we have Jesus in our life. We're not doing that. We're doing good works so that we can bring the light of God, the light of Jesus into the people's lives so that they can have a chance, an opportunity to make a decision to accept that light or not. Isn't that great, y'all? I mean, that's a heavy responsibility. I mean, that's something, I think. It's a privilege for God to use us in that way. It's amazing and humbling that he would even pick me to do something like that in this world. But it also is a heavy burden that kind of terrifies me because I know who I used to be and I know what I'm trying not to be. And the only way to keep going is to know who you are in the middle of it all. And you are the salt and you are the light of this world. And I think if Jesus were here in the flesh, he would say, you are the salt and you are the light. Act like it. Right? So, I would encourage you and challenge you this week to have some prayer time, have a talk with God and listen to God and ask him, am I really being salt? Am I the salt? Am I light in this world? And I would express a desire to want to be there, want to be completely surrendered to who I am in Christ. All right, and I was thinking about this, how I would say, communicate what I'm saying, and it's like, even that prayer, Lord, help me be what you died for me to be, help me to be the light in this world, help me to be the salt in this world. And I caught myself in that thought, or maybe the Spirit of the Lord asking me a question, why do you want that? Why would you say a prayer like that? Yeah. I mean, it's like, why would I say that prayer? The Lord, help me to be salt. Help me to be the light. Help me to be what you got for me to be. Am I saying that prayer because I want my life to glorify God and I want others to glorify God? Or am I saying that because I just want to be a great Christian? And I think there's a difference. None of it can be about what I want for me. Because it's not what Jesus died for. He said, you are the salt and you are light. It ultimately to glorify God so that other people would glorify God. How do you get the community to glorify God? I can't even get them to come to church. So how do I get them to praise God? Well, I don't. You don't. We don't. All we do is just walk out there and let the light of God be. And watch how people will praise God and glorify God. Just watch how it changes the world. So that's my encouragement for this morning.
right? I hope it's encouraging. It's intended to be encouraging, right? I'm trying to make it simple. I need it to be simple. Lord, I need to know what I'm supposed to do, and I need to know what you're supposed to do, and help me live in that. Well, the good news is most everything he's going to do. The bad news is the hard thing I got to do, which is get out of the way, surrender, submit, let him be who he is, and stop being who I am. Well, so it means die to yourself. The old man no longer is here. Every now and then, pops his head up saying, hey, what about this? I'm like, ain't that way no more. Stop it. I've had arguments with myself before. Don't get concerned. I'm okay. I love you and the Lord loves you. I hope that today is a reminder of who we are in Christ. I hope it's more than just a reminder of what we're supposed to be doing. I hope it's a reminder that God is doing something really special with us. I mean, an overwhelming privilege when you realize exactly what the Lord is doing with you. Once you step into his grace, once you repent, once you've been immersed for the forgiveness of your sins, once all that's dealt with, he says he'll give you the gift of the Holy Spirit, and his holiness existing in your heart. His holiness. And you get to go into the world and let that be wherever God wants it to be. Right? This thing's a powerful message with the light flicks.